Thank you for leading us this morning. I need to apologize to them and to our ushers. I made a mistake in our schedule of worship and put those ushers in a tight spot, and I appreciate them following the lead of their pastor, even though that was not what was originally planned. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, let me invite you to find John chapter 20 and verse 1. John chapter 20 and verse 1. I want to share with you a message this morning entitled, "Will You Believe?" If you didn't bring a Bible this morning or you don't have access to one, I want you to know that I am preaching this morning from one of our pew Bibles. And so you can find John chapter 20 and verse 1 on page 1249. And so you can see exactly what I am reading and where I will be in just a moment. This is the New King James Version of God's Word, and it is the translation that we use each and every Sunday morning. When we talk about resurrection morning, Jesus truly is the only undefeated one. And Christians all over the world today are gathering to celebrate the empty tomb and the resurrection of Christ. But as we think about this morning, what the resurrection means, what it looked like, we think about what separates Jesus and makes him the only undefeated one, what separates Christianity from every other faith tradition in all of history. And it's the resurrection. Now you say, perhaps, Brother Richard, haven't there been other resurrections? Well, not exactly. The Bible actually has multiple, and the accurate term would be resuscitations. The Bible has multiple resuscitations, and perhaps some of you may have known someone who has been resuscitated, or maybe you yourself has been resuscitated. But the difference between the resurrection and a resuscitation is that Jesus was brought back to life, never to die again. And that cannot be said, truthfully said, about any individual who has been resuscitated. But let me just remind you this morning. In the Old Testament, there were three resuscitations before Jesus. If you'll remember the prophet Elijah, Elijah resuscitated a widow's son. And that's found in 1 Kings chapter 17. Listen to the text. "And he stretched himself out on the child three times and cried out to the Lord and said, 'O Lord my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him.' And then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived." Well, then it was Elijah's successor, Elisha, who also brought an individual back to life temporarily, resuscitated the Shunammite's son. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 20. "When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died." Verse 32 of 2 Kings 4. "When Elisha came into the house, there was the child lying dead on his bed. And then 2 Kings 4, verse 35. He returned and walked back and forth in the house and again went up and stretched himself out on him. Then the child sneezed 7 times and the child opened his eyes. And then in perhaps the most unique instance of resuscitation in the Old Testament, 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 21. So it was as they were burying a man. So this is a dead man. As they were burying a man, that suddenly they spied a band of raiders, and they put the man in the tomb of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood on his feet. So there was this dead man touching the bones of Elisha and was resuscitated. Well, you also have in the New Testament, you have 3 resuscitations after Jesus. Acts chapter 9, verse 40. Do you remember the story? Peter resuscitated Tabitha, also called Dorcas. But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And then he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when she had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. Some even think that Paul also was resuscitated according to Acts chapter 14, verses 19 and 20. Then the Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And then Paul himself resuscitated a young man by the name of Eutychus. Acts chapter 20. And in a window sat a certain young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep. Now, you guys don't be guilty of what Eutychus was guilty of. Do your best to stay awake, even though the preacher is preaching. He was overcome by sleep. And as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. But Paul went down, fell on him, and embracing him said, "Do not trouble yourselves. His life is in him." And now when he had come up, had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till daybreak, he departed. And they brought the young man in alive, and they were not a little comforted. And then even in the Gospels, Jesus himself resuscitated 3 individuals. Mark chapter 5, verse 41. This is Jairus' daughter. Then Jesus took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kumai," which is translated, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And in Luke chapter 7, he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and Jesus presented him to his mother. And then probably the most well-known was Lazarus. John chapter 11, verses 43 and 44. Now when he had said these things, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth!" And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." Before Jesus resuscitated Lazarus, it was his words to Lazarus's sister Mary that provided the inspiration, so to speak, for why we celebrate today. John chapter 11, verse 25, excuse me, not to Mary, but to Martha. Jesus said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." It was there that Jesus was foreshadowing resurrection morning. And we turn our attention to John chapter 20, verse 1. Follow along as I read 1 verses 1 through 10. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, and while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. And then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They've taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, and were going to the tomb. And so they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. And then Simon Peter came, following him, and he went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. And then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. Notice in these first 10 verses here of John chapter 20 how John believed because of what he envisioned. John believed, the writer of this fourth gospel, he believed because of what he envisioned or what he saw. Back in verse 1, we know that it was on Sunday morning. And Mary Magdalene was the first witness to the tomb. And she was on her way there to help in the embalming process of the first century. She had brought some spices to take to Jesus' body. And she ran and she came and she saw Simon Peter and the other disciple. That's John's very unique way in referring to himself. That's not the way that we would talk today, but that's John's way of referencing himself. And after she met with them, she was afraid that in fact Jesus' body had been stolen or they had taken him somewhere else without letting them know. Verse 3 that says that Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, and they were going to the tomb. And then here you see John, in verse 4, you see John's sense of humor. John, in calling himself the other disciple, also felt it necessary, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, mind you, to point out that he was faster than Peter. He ran a little bit faster and got there first. And stooping down and looking in, he saw the grave clothes. And then Simon Peter also went into the tomb and saw the grave clothes. But I want you to make note of verse 8. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first, he went in also, and he saw and he believed. See, John believed because of what he envisioned, what he saw. Well, what did he see? He saw an empty tomb. Brothers and sisters, today, might you also believe because of what you have seen? Maybe you have seen a changed life of a follower of Christ. Maybe you have seen the Bible demonstrate that it is true again and again and again. John believed because of what he envisioned. Will you believe? By the way, when we are thinking about the reality of the resurrection, the truth of the resurrection, the historicity of the resurrection, there are some great evidences here in these first several verses. You notice that resurrection happened on Sunday morning. Well, at this particular time, the followers of Christ, they didn't worship on Sunday. They worshiped on Saturday. But it was later in the book of Acts when the church, in order to commemorate the resurrection of Christ, each and every time they met, changed that day of worship from Saturday to Sunday, which is what we still do today, approximately 2,000 years later. And then notice again who that first person is to the tomb on Sunday morning, if you were trying to propagate a story that was absolutely going to be believed again and again and again, in the first century, you would not have put a woman as the first witness, simply because of how they viewed women, unfortunately. And yet, what you have here on the pages of Scripture is that the very first person to the tomb, the very first one to see that the tomb was empty, Mary Magdalene. And we still recognize that today, and we still point to her today. John believed because of what he envisioned. Notice there in verse 11 that Mary believed because of who she encountered. Verse 11. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she went, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid them." Again, she was thinking that Jesus' body had been stolen. Now, when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" And she, supposing him to be the gardener, remember, this is a garden tomb owned by Joseph of Arimathea and his family. Joseph allowing Jesus to use that tomb, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She spoke to him in a voice that she recognized. She spoke to him in a voice that she never expected to hear again because of what Mary saw on Friday. But he said to her, "Mary," and she knew instantly who was speaking. She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher. And Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. How do we know that Mary believed? Because of her fruit, because of her obedience. She did exactly what the Lord told her to do. And she now was a witness of the resurrected Christ. Mary believed because of who she encountered. Have you ever had a personal experience with Christ? Do you believe today because of who you have encountered? John believed because of what he envisioned, what he saw. Mary believed because of who she encountered, Jesus, the resurrected Christ, personally there on Sunday morning. And then there's a third person that I want to remind you of this morning. A man by the name of Doubting Thomas. You know Doubting Thomas. We use that name to call individuals who may not be full of trust or full of faith. But beginning in verse 19, we see that Thomas believed because of what he experienced. Then that same day at evening, so this is now resurrection evening on Sunday, the same day at evening being the first day of the week when the disciples were shut where the disciples were, doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood at the midst and said to them, peace be with you. Now why would the disciples be afraid? Remember what they saw on Friday. They saw their leader. They saw their Savior. They saw their Master crucified, beaten, mocked and scorned and dead. And they did not want the same thing happening to them. And so out of fear, they were gathered together in this room with the doors shut. And Jesus appeared to them, peace be with you. Verse 20, and when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And so Jesus said to them again, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. By the way, in the same way that Jesus sent these disciples in the power of the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters in Christ, we are sent today in the power of the Holy Spirit to be witnesses of what Christ has done in our lives. Verse 24, now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So Thomas wasn't with them on that Sunday night. And the other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. And so Thomas said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side. Do you remember the Roman soldier who stuck his spear in Jesus' side to make sure that in fact he was dead? Thomas wanted to put his hand in his side. And he said, if I don't get to do that, I will not believe. Therefore, we have the moniker, Doubting Thomas. But fast forward in verse 26, after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them this time. And Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace to you. And then he said to Thomas, notice what Thomas is about to experience here. Reach your finger here and look at my hands. And reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Thomas believed because of what he had experienced. He had experienced tangible proof that in fact, Jesus Christ had been resurrected. Verse 29, Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Many of you are here this morning, and you have believed in Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. And yet there are some of you here this morning, and you might believe that Jesus existed. You might believe that Jesus was a real person, and there was an event called the crucifixion. There was an event called the resurrection. But you have not come to the point of believing in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But I want to ask you this morning, will you believe for the very first time? Did you know that the resurrection happened for that very purpose? The Gospel of John was written for that very purpose, so that you might believe. Look at verses 30 and 31. And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written. What are these? The signs culminating in the resurrection. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. Do you remember what Jesus said to Martha, talking about her brother Lazarus? John 11:25, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." Every person in the room, unless Jesus comes back first, every person in the room will die a physical death. But you do not have to die a spiritual death if you will believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. And we want to give you the opportunity to believe this morning. Brother Richard, again, believe what? Believe that our sin separates us from a holy God. God created us to have a loving relationship with Him. And yet our sin there in the Garden of Eden plunged us into spiritual death. And it's that sin that separates us from God. It's our sin that reminds us that we have a need for a Savior, and the only option is Jesus Christ. Why is He the only option? Because He's the only undefeated one. He's the only one to have ever been resurrected. Plenty of resuscitations, but only one resurrection. And so today, if you would believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin and in your place, and then call on Him to save you. The Bible tells us that He will forgive us of our sin, cleanse us of unrighteousness, and prepare in heaven a home for us for eternity. Here at Emory Baptist Church on Sunday mornings after the sermon, we give a public invitation. And so in just a moment, I'm going to invite you to stand after I finish praying, and we're going to be singing a very familiar song for many of you. And here at the front, I will be, and Brother Ronnie will be, and if today you would respond publicly as the gospel has been extended to you publicly, I would just invite you to step out of one of these aisles and make your way here to the front. We'd love to welcome you. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to counsel with you. We'd love to celebrate with you believing in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord for the very first time. Maybe you have been visiting with us for a number of Sundays, and you feel like that this is now where God wants you to be a church member. We'd love to welcome you this morning. Maybe you need to come to the front to pray for someone. Maybe you need to do some business with the Lord just where you'll be standing, recommitting, rededicating your life to being a sent one on behalf of Jesus. John believed because of what he envisioned. Mary believed because of who she encountered. Thomas believed because of what he experienced. What about you? Will you believe today? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Again, after I finish praying, I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet and join Brother Chris as he leads us in a song of commitment, a hymn of invitation. And Brother Ronnie and I will be here at the front ready to welcome and greet you this morning if you respond publicly to our invitation. Father in heaven, we are grateful and thankful for resurrection morning. How the tomb is empty, Jesus is alive, and it's His resurrection that separates Him from everyone else. He is the only Lord and Savior of the world. He's the only undefeated one. And so, Lord, I ask and pray that you have already been at work in the lives of all those present this morning. And I pray for your Holy Spirit to convict of sin and lostness, to draw men and women and boys and girls unto yourself. And I pray, Father, you'd give faith to believe for those this morning who haven't believed yet. And then courage to confess you before men. Father, thank you again for meeting with us today. Thank you for speaking to us through your word. We commit this invitation to you in Jesus' name. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet? As Brother Chris comes to lead us, Brother Ronnie and I are here at the front. Today, we would invite you to respond.